Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Bible study series examines a specific part of God's Word of Truth. We pray that through this study, your faith will be built up and you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word through what you hear.
What does God say about it? And what is God's message here? And I think that's kind of something important to think about, too, is Paul is writing this book of Philemon, and he is breathed by the Holy Spirit. So what is the directive of God and Paul to this runaway slave?
Yeah, so it's Paul recognizes that even though Philemon is a great benefit to him, or excuse me, Onesimus is a great benefit to him. Mm-hmm. He's his man on the ground, as we mentioned before. He recognized so that, you know, by the command of God, you know, think of Romans 13, you know, all authority that has been given by God. All right. Or what did Jesus say to Pontius Pilate? You know, the only reason you have any authority is because the one above gave it to you. Mm-hmm. Right. So all authority that is there, and including the authority over Onesimus, is given by God. And so God had put Onesimus in the position as a slave of Philemon. And so Paul recognized that this was the situation that God had set up, and far be it from him to to say, well, who cares? It doesn't matter. I need this guy. I'm going to just ignore it. Rather, he sends Onesimus back to Philemon. So these prison letters that have been sent are carried to Colossae and Ephesus and Philippi. And along with the letter going to Colossae, here comes Onesimus and the letter. And can you imagine imagine how terrified Onesimus must have been?
Yeah, was Philemon's reaction when he...
Yeah, here comes my slave who had run away.
Stolen money from me,
yeah. Yeah. The book seems to indicate there that Philemon did steal money from... Onesimus stole money from Philemon on the way out. Mm-hmm. And here he comes. You can imagine, hat in hand, with his letter on top, saying, "Please read this letter from Paul before you take any action."
Yeah, open immediately.
Yes, open immediately. I like that. Yeah. I like that. I think, Ben, maybe it's worth, you know, it's 25 verses. Maybe it's worth us just reading the whole thing here together, and then commenting on just how beautiful Paul writes this, and just how heartfelt his letter is. So let's, I'll read from the New King James here. Yeah. Beginning with verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church at your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who I have begotten while in my chains, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in the chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Okay, so Pastor Joe Nauman just took us through the book of Philemon. Some of my initial thoughts here, just kind of listening to and reading along with you, Joe, you can really tell here, you know, just like the loving tone that Paul is writing in this whole message. He's appealing to Philemon, this slave owner, to take back this runaway slave and to not have any anger or hatred in his heart. And really, he's motivating this individual by the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, don't beat this guy when he comes back because I said so. That'd be motivating by the law. But rather, he's saying, look, this, like, maybe this was God's plan that he was sent here, that he ran away and came here, and then I was able to meet him, and he was able to do great things for the gospel's sake, and now he's going to send back to you, and don't look at him as just a slave, but as more than a slave, a beloved brother. And I think that's that tone just really comes across just reading this book.
Yeah, as you say, the love that he has, and really, you know, almost giving Philemon no choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's strong arming him with the gospel almost, you know, saying, you know, this is what it is. And this is who Onesimus is now. And maybe you probably have a good reason to be angry or feel like you need to punish him in some way, mm-hmm. but no, yeah. You know, and that's, you know, that's the tone that comes across from Paul. And, you know, he even mentions, not even to mention besides the fact that you owe yourself to me, right? He says, you know, remember the reason that you are now a believer and that you are on your way to heaven is because I came and proclaimed that gospel to you. I showed the love for you that I'm now asking you to show to Onesimus as well. And yeah, and he says, it's, you know, it's part of God's overarching, you know, he says it's part of God's plan to send him here and then to have this all happen. And, you know, and clearly if they're in Rome, you know, can you imagine how big was Rome back then? It was massive. You know, yeah. You can think of like, I don't know, for being in Minnesota, I was like the Twin Cities, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's one guy in house arrest in the Twin Cities, and the one runaway slave who happens to belong to one of this guy's friend happens to run into him, and yeah. Boom, this is, you know, small world. No, it's clearly part of God's, mm-hmm. clearly part of God's plan. A few notes I looked at right away. It mentions the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Likely Philemon, you know, he had obviously the one slave, if not more. He had likely had a very large household. It seems like he was hosting the church at his house. So he was, you know, he was more than just a member there at the church in Colossae. He probably was the host, of the church there. Apphia, likely his wife, and Archippus, likely his son, is what many, we don't know that for sure, but sure. Bible scholars tend to think that way. Archippus was likely also a fellow pastor. He's called a fellow soldier there in verse 2. So a couple people that were important to Philemon as well. And you can see just from the beginning just how, you know, he doesn't begin right out with saying, be nice to Onesimus. He begins by saying, I thank God that I've been hearing about your faith, how you've been working with the saints, how you've been sharing your faith. You've acknowledging every good thing from Jesus Christ. It's with great joy. I'm so happy to hear about all these things. You know, it's not buttering him up because, you know, Paul doesn't, you know, it's the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit writing. He's not buttering anybody up, but he's, as I said, it's strong arming him with the gospel. You know, it's saying, so, you know about your faith. You know about the joy that you have. We've heard about it over here. Now you need. Now is the time for you to act on that.
Yeah.
And here's how you're going to do it.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like Paul starts off with the positives. Obviously, this is a tricky and sticky situation that they're dealing with. But instead of just like diving straight into it, you know, he brings up first that Christ Jesus, that Paul is a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and grace and peace, you know, from the Father, you know, the traditional opening, and then that he points out all the things that are going right, and then addresses this thing that went terribly wrong, and how are we to deal with this situation? And I guess, Joe, my question now to you is, Philemon's 25 verses, but this is the Word of God, so how can we apply the letter of Philemon, its message, what it says, how can we apply that to ourselves here today in 2018?
Well, good question. I mean, obviously, I don't own any slaves. I'm not sure about you, Ben.
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I have my kids, so I'm looking forward to training them into be workers at my house. But sure. Right now, they did make more messes than they clean up. Mm-hmm. So, no, I get what you're saying, Ben. And you know, that is obviously from God's word. We should always be asking ourselves that question: is what's the message we should be learning from this? And ultimately, it's the love for one another, right? We don't have slaves and masters anymore in that way, but we do have employers and employees. We have bosses, and we have people who are put under us, you know, at work, or we're made supervisors in one way or another. And this is obviously how to deal one another in love, and especially when that relationship is Christian to Christian. You know, we don't know what happened to Onesimus. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us if, you know, Philemon went in a rage and killed him before he had the chance, or if Philemon read the letter and said, go free and go work with Paul some more. You know, we don't know. We don't know what happened. And I think that's clearly it's intentional by God that he did that on purpose, so that we can, you know, we can draw our own conclusions from, you know, what are we to do in this situation? That is to work in love, right? To work. Look what Paul says again in verses 15 and 16. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and the Lord. You know, how much, you know, not just as a slave, but a beloved brother, not just as an employee, but as a beloved brother, not just as someone you work with, but as a beloved brother or sister in Christ. We're to look at one another, especially those of the household of faith, and recognize that, you know, to what extent can we possibly help this person? Mm-hmm. You know, slavery is always looked upon as this, you know, as we mentioned earlier, this atrocity against the natural rights of mankind. But if it's being done in love, which I'm, you know, as I mentioned before, it rarely is. And so I'm not, in no way am I saying we should in any way reenact slavery, or that it works in most cases. In most cases, 99.9%, you know, when this bunch of power is given to someone, it's being abused. But this is that point one, right? This is that when they're both Christian, when they're working together, when they recognize each other as brothers in Christ, that they're both condemned sinners before God, and yet they've both been redeemed by their Savior Jesus Christ, and that they're working together not just for their own purpose, not just for their own gain and earthly goals and whatever blessings they may try to be achieving here on this earth, earthly blessing wise, but recognizing that they can work together to encourage each other, to strengthen each other's faith, to help share the good news of the gospel with other people. You know, that's the working together that Paul wanted these two men to have going forward. You know, and you know, we don't know what happened to Onesimus. I firmly believe that Philemon allowed him to go right back to Paul, you know, after delivered the letter and said, well, he's going to be of use to you. You know, he gave him a big hug and said, I'm so glad, you know, this Holy Spirit has worked in your heart, and, you know, go be of use to Paul. You know, I don't think Philemon was a guy who was, seems like the Lord had blessed him financially to that he was sustainable without with the loss of one of his slaves. And so, you know, I firmly believe that, you know, he let him go and allowed Paul to continue to use him as according to Paul's purpose. And that's one of the, you know, the last point I really wanted to get across on this whole slavery issue. Mm-hmm. I was speaking to Professor Keeney, who is one of my members here in Mankato, on this topic, and he mentioned to me that during the Civil War, the Norwegian Synod was looking at this issue of slavery, and you know, there were some synods out there that were saying, you know, you have to be against slavery. Slavery is a sin. You must be against it. God's word demands that you be against slavery, and if you're not against it, then you are, you're disobeying God. And the Norwegian synod thought to themselves, we're too close to this. you know, they were mostly northern states, but they thought, you know, we got to be, what do we do? You know, we've got to be careful. So they sent back to the homeland, to Norway, and they asked the church back in Norway, you know, do a study on this. Take a look at this issue of slavery. What does God have to say about slavery? What should our stance be in the run-up to the Civil War? You know, which obviously had to do with slavery. And the synod back in Norway wrote back and said, you know, nowhere in God's word does it say that slavery is wrong. You know, nowhere does it say that that we deserve freedom for who we are. You know, obviously we're lost in sin. We deserve hell. But the way that God sets up slavery, the way that God portrays, you know, servants working as for the Lord and slaves working as for the Lord, masters treating their servants or slaves as they would their own savior, recognize that they have their own master in heaven. You know, the way that God sets it up like that, if we are really do follow what God says about that to the nth degree, really that's going to be the end of slavery. Because it's no longer going to be profitable. It's no longer going to be something that would continue to flourish, because the masters would recognize that, you know, God has blessed them with these individuals, but now that they are able to, you know, they can go serve in their own way, especially the world that we live in today. Mm-hmm. You know, back at the time of Paul and Onesimus and Philemon, you know, a good way of making a living was to be a slave of somebody, and they, you know, you just fed at their table, and that's the way it worked. But in our day and age, and in the time of, certainly at the time of the Civil War as well, it was, you know, people could go and get a job at a you know, factory or whatever, you know, could come up with a way to labor and work for the Lord, make money for themselves. And so eventually what this church from Norway said is that if you follow what God loves, the masters treat their slaves with the Christian love and care that the Bible teaches and joins, that slavery would not be feasible, it would not be a profitable thing, and so it would disappear. And so, you know, that's the way that I believe God lays out slavery in the Bible, is that he intended for slavery to disappear from the world, because slavery is a way so easily lends itself to that abuse, right? And that's not what God obviously does not want that. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, speaking biblically, kind of to wrap up this whole issue of slavery, yes, we as Americans, we think of slavery as one thing and one thing only. You know, like you said, Joe, it's people think that slavery is inherently evil. But the way that the Bible speaks of us as Christians, it calls us bond servants, slaves, right? We are God's slaves, and that is a great thing. You know, look at Romans 6. There, Paul is talking about we were slaves from sin, and then Romans 6, 18 says, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So I think kind of the point we want to take here is when we're slaves of God, that's a great thing, because God is the best master that there ever is. He always takes care of us, not like those human slave masters who rarely took care of their slaves, you know, in the Americas, or, you know, even in the time, you know, of Paul, when there were better, you know, slave owners, and it was more of a work thing. But the whole point is, you have to serve somebody. You can't have two masters, Jesus says, for either you're going to love the one, and you're going to hate the other. You can't serve both God and human things, or we can't, you know, we can't both serve God and serve our own interests, you know, so who are you going to serve? Ultimately, you're either going to serve sin or you're going to serve God. And those are the only choices you have. And like it said, I would much rather be a doorkeeper, you know, in my father's house than, you know, and that's the point is, even if I have the lowest job here, you know, even if I don't have life, liberty, happiness, Joe, that I can be sure that God has saved me. And even if I don't have those earthly things, I can be sure that, you know, my reward is waiting for me in heaven in the arms of my Savior.
Right. You know, that's the key idea is, you know, we will have eternal life, eternal liberty, eternal happiness in heaven. And that's God's goal, right? Jesus' kingdom is not one of this world. You know, we have been very blessed with a wonderful country to live in. Here in the United States of America, we have many rights. Freedom of religion is certainly one that we cherish. Mm-hmm. But should that freedom go away? Should these other freedoms go away? We still have our God, and we still have that spiritual freedom that He gives to us through His Word. So, regardless of what our situation in life is, we have that freedom, and that. I kind of thought a good verse to wrap up on today, Ben, would be from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. It says this, "Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as slaves of God."
Yeah.
Right? Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, which so many people in our world, especially in the United States today, they use their freedom for evil.
Yep.
Right? They're misusing this earthly freedom. Recognize that you are free spiritually, that no matter what your situation, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what's happened to you, no matter if you're in chains for, you know, for whatever reason, for the sake of the gospel, or if you're in chains for something wrong that you've done, you are still free in your spirit because of what God has done for you. Use that freedom that you have as slaves of God. And that's what each of us do. That's what God called Onesimus to do. That's what God called Philemon to do. And each one of us is now to continue to serve as slaves of God in this world. And if God's my slave master, I'm going to be pretty blessed. And you know, ultimately, when that picture of a slaves of God is certainly a biblical one, but we're also co-heirs with Christ, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're not just considered slaves of God. We are considered children of God and joint heirs of heaven with Christ. So just as what Christ inherits in heaven, I will inherit too. So thanks be to God for His gift of love that He has for us. Thanks be to God for His setting out these principles of love, that if we stick to these principles of love, it doesn't matter what form of government or what form of society we live in, whether it be slavery or serfdom or the democratic republic in which we live, if we are abiding by these principles of love for one another, honoring people, loving the brotherhood, fearing God, honoring those in authority, God will bless us and will ultimately take us to Himself.
Exactly. Well, it has been our prayer that you have heard, you listeners have heard God's word here today through the book of Philemon. We read through it here very quickly, and I think, you know, you can check it out for yourself. It's only 25 verses, and you can study it and kind of apply it to yourself, take God's message to heart.
Short little book, but he really packs it in there, doesn't he? Definitely. There's a lot to talk about in this.
Yeah,
in this small little book of Philemon.
Great message of love here, Christian love, and something that we should use in our lives as well. Well, we pray that we continue to serve our true master, God, to His end. We encourage you to go to our website, burdenblessing.org, check out our blog posts, check out our other podcasts like this on Word of the Week or Books of the Bible, and we pray that you will come back and listen to us once again. The Lord be with you.
We hope that you will join us again next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast as we continue to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Until next time, take confidence in your Savior's promise that He will always be with you, even to the end of the world.